16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to CP Time, the only show that's for the culture. Today, we're going to talk about hip-hop. And I mean real hip-hop. Not this new school trap mumble rap where you can't even understand what they're saying. Hubbada, hubbada, Vicodin, hubbada, Percocet, hubbada, hubbada. That's not lyrics. That's the sound Fred Flintstone's feet make when he's driving off. His feet just joined the Migos. No, today we're going to talk about old school hip hop. Legends like DJ Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, Run DMC, and of course, my short-lived group, Regular Roy and the Trapezoids. We broke up right after we took that picture. Had a huge argument over what exactly a trapezoid is. Didn't record a single track. Kiss my ass, Leroy. Tonight, let's discuss some of the seminal moments in the birth of hip-hop. Starting with the 40th anniversary of Rapper's Delight, the first commercially successful rap song. Rapper's Delight got everyone rapping. In fact, thanks to Rapper's Delight, hip-hop went so mainstream, it even led to stuff like this.
And every rapping cat I know drinks Miller Lite! Ain't that so?
Thankfully, hip-hop survived that commercial. But barely. Now, Rapper's Delight might be the reason rap went commercial, but what gave hip-hop its flavor was indubitably the sound of the record scratch. And a lot of people don't know this, but the record scratch was actually invented by accident. A young DJ by the name of Grand Wizard Theodore was practicing in his room when his mother came in and he stopped the record with his hand, which led to this. That's right. That sound was accidentally created by a young black man trying to avoid an ass whooping. And now it's the signature of hip hop. It's also the sound of when some shit done gone wrong. The condom had a hole in it. What do you mean that wasn't beef? You may be a dentist, but that ain't my mouth. But before you could scratch on a turntable, you needed a turntable. And that was one of the biggest obstacles for aspiring hip-hop DJs. Turntables were too expensive. Luckily, in 1977, an act of God changed the course of black history. A massive blackout hit New York City, and in the ensuing chaos, over 1,000 stores were looted. Now, I'm not going to be the one to say that black people had anything to do with it, but let's just say that the next day, there were a bunch of brand new DJs in New York City. The coincidence indeed. Now, before you judge those people who looted on that fateful day, remember that looting can lead to some beneficial side effects. Black people looted, and now we have hip-hop. White people looted, and now we have museums. You know damn well those mummies didn't just walk themselves into that museum. Now, that historic night in 77, my Uncle Bebo also took part in the looting. But because of the darkness, he couldn't identify what he was taking. He thought he stole two turntables. Turns out it was two Lazy Susans. He never did become a DJ, but he could pass the hell out of some ketchup. Well, that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, I want to make peace with the Trapezoids. Leroy, if you're watching this tonight, I'm sorry that I said a trapezoid is just a square with an attitude. Also, I'm sorry for having sex with your wife. Well, this has been CP Time. And remember, we're for the culture. Leroy, kiss my son for me. Then I'll see you in a couple of years.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the internet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? But there's way more to this story than that. The dress went viral in early 2015, marking one of the last months that the internet could still be fun. It was just before Trump declared his candidacy for president and polarized an already polarized internet. It was just shy of people deciding what went viral instead of algorithms. And it was just shy of celebrities realizing that they should never, ever tweet. It's more than a character of the day. It's an entire moment in time bottled in a little, well, either blue and black or white and gold package. I'm not relitigating it again. You cannot make it. And that's just one story. We've got a million. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight is a DJ and a record producer whose wildly popular Club Quarantine saved all our lives during the pandemic. Please give it up for my brother, DJ D-Nice.
All right.
D-Nice.
What's up, man?
That is the perfect name. I never asked you, how did you come up with the name D-Nice?
You know, back in the 80s, everybody was Ice, Mixmaster Ice. And when we were recording our first song, South Bronx, Scott LaRock accidentally called me D-Nice.
Wow.
And I just kept it.
Well, I used to be M-Ski.
You were M-Ski?
Because Nice Ski, that's my tag-up name. I was terrible in tagging. It would just be like a stick figure. What were some of the names that you had before? Like, before D-Nice, what were the failed names?
I was D-Money.
That works, D-Money.
Yeah, but that doesn't work during COVID. People were losing jobs.
Nah, he rich. We ain't going on. We ain't gonna walk. We ain't gonna
party with him. D-Money. No, but that was it, though. I actually started in hip-hop, man. I was pretty fortunate. Like, the first thing that I did in hip-hop was work with BDP, so.
How did that happen? How did you first start? BDP,
Boogie Down Productions.
KRS-One. Yes. The teacher. Yes, the philosopher. I still love my philosopher. But how did that happen?
So KRS-One lived in the men's shelter in the Bronx.
Wow.
DJ Scott LaRock was the social worker in the Bronx. My cousin was a security guard at the men's shelter. And I was like 15, and he asked me
was
to
that
bring
Robo?
Some. No. Robo was, he was just down with the group. This okay. is my cousin. We called him.
Shout out to Robo. Sure.
Yeah, he knows Robo.
RoboCop.
Yeah. But anyway, I walked over with some food, and then, you know, he was like, hey, I want to introduce you to someone. And he introduced me to Scott LaRock.
God loves you.
God loves me, man.
Everything your nickname, D Nice, just happened, and then he gifted you the KRS-One.
Yes.
And you don't know my struggles. That I'm like, I was a wins, so my mama tried to get rid of me, but I lived anyway. You know, Sean tried to drown me, so did Kim, DJ Damon. Kenan starved me for a week, Damon beat me. And it just made me strong.
there's a lot of you, though.
We're gay. We're good. But you know what's dope? Like, I love the fact that, like, my family, like, I never had to run with a lot of dudes. You know how you in the Bronx, whatever, you have to run with certain dudes? I never had to run with nobody. I got my brothers. I just let out one cuckoo, and it's a problem. It's a problem.
No, it's definitely.
Let me ask you. I mean, we've known each other a very long time.
Yes.
We met on the set of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Yes.
I think we were like the youngest people on the set.
We were babies. I had no hair. I looked like a shaved weasel. Like, and you didn't have no hair. Look at you. That's it with the D. Look at him. I wanted to rob you of that jacket so bad. Now look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, I love this.
That's crazy.
We were look at Sean.
Puberty was nowhere on that set.
No, not at all.
But man, how did y'all wind up doing that? I know my brother called.
Your brother reached out.
My brother loved BDP.
Yes.
And
he reached out to us. We were on tour with, like, Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah.
I was young on that tour, bro. I was, like, 17, 18 years old. And we were, while we were on tour, Kenan reached out and said he wanted us to do the, do a song from the film. So I worked on the beat on the tour bus, and it ended up being a song used in the movie.
Yeah, Jack of Spades.
Jack.
Stop, we look old. Club Quarantine, man. You know, you really saved our lives with that. This is the third year anniversary. It's funny, when you first started doing it, I would always show up.
Yes.
And I just wanted to shout out. I was like, you was like shouting out Oprah, and you shouting out Obama was in there one time. I was like, D, over here. Remember me? I'm gonna just sucker. I'm gonna sucker. And then one day he was like, Marlon Wayans. I was like, yeah, street cred. What do you plan on doing with that now?
Oh, CQ. So the third anniversary of Club Quarantine, which is so crazy. Dude. We've been doing this for 3 years together, is next Friday. Music, man. So, you know, we're doing the CQ3 anniversary next Saturday, March 18th, at the Apollo Theater. I wanted to bring it home.
Okay, done.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But I'm also excited that during the daytime, we're doing something really cool. You know, what affected people during the quarantine was, how do you save for a pandemic? So I'm doing something called the ABCQs, which is... it's a financial literacy seminar during the daytime with Chase. To just kind of teach people about, you know, financial literacy and saving and building wealth.
That's dope. Go on, brother. Yeah. Let me talk all your positivity.
Come on, man.
I was like, how do you drink more wine than... Mine's very simple. You're into hip-hop, and I wanted to ask a hip-hop aficionado a couple things. One is, who's in your top 10? What's your Mount Rushmore?
Man, I think it's unfair to have a top 10. You know, like, it's every generation is different. But if I had to select 10 people, it would be Jay, Nas,
yes,
Big.
Yes.
Who else?
Rakim.
Rakim.
Yes.
KRS, Big Daddy
Busta Kane. Rhymes. You got to put Busta in there.
I would put Busta in there.
You got to put Busta
in
there.
That's 8. I love Eminem. That's 9.
Yes.
And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm a big Queen Latifah fan.
Okay.
You
know?
Yeah.
He's very politically correct. He was repping for International Women's Day. You smart. I noticed you always got a hat on. Why? You got a nice head. You know what I mean?
Man, you know.
You got a nice head.
I'm just saying, man, you know, like, I don't know, the hat became a thing. I've always worn a hat because I started to lose my hair prematurely, you know, like.
You was on the set, 16 like, years old, losing
started,
your hair?
I started
what you
losing
about?
My hair at like 28, man. I was like, man, I need to wear a hat. I really didn't like the shape of my head. But the hat thing during quarantine was actually an accident.
No, but this is cool. Like,
this is my vibe.
You got a nice head. Like, some dudes, they ain't got a nice head. Like, like I don't befriend him because if he ever see Neo without his hat on, I'm like, oh, Lord. You were thinking it. Instead
of. Neo's a homie, but I have to agree with you.
Neo knows his head is messed up. Every time I see him without his hat on, I just want to load him in a gun. We all lost the hip hop community. We lost one.
Yes.
True Goy,
De La Soul.
De La just started streaming their music, so please go make sure you check out De La Soul. Them brothers are streaming now.
Yes.
What did De La Soul mean to you?
De La Soul, what do they mean to me?
What do you think they mean
freedom,
to you?
Freedom hip-hop. Of expression.
Right.
You know, they've always been free with their look, the clothes, the music, the lyrics.
Yeah.
They were always something different.
Right.
You know, so as DJ Jazzy Jeff would say, we got a bubble wrap De La Soul.
Absolutely.
You know, they truly are like amazing talent. You
absolutely.
Know?
And, I feel like for me, De La Soul, like growing up in the hood, De La Soul, like there's music, hip hop. A lot of hip-hop, Rakim, Eric B., was for brothers in the hood.
Sure.
De La Soul was for brothers like me that was trying to get out the hood. You know what I mean? Like, they spoke to, like, you know, the other side, like, you know, come on.
I was trying to get out of the hood, too. So they were for me, too, man.
Okay, there you go. Don't tell nobody we punk.
Don't tell
don't
nobody.
Don't tell me we punk my out of the hood.
I was trying to get out of the hood, bro.
They lost songs for all the brothers that was getting chased by the brother. That music, whoa, 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 whoa! Yeah. It sounded like that. It sounded that kind
you know,
of soundtrack.
I said KRS lived in the shelter. I didn't live in the shelter. I was,
you was like, oh, that poor Negro. hip hop. It's been around 50 years.
50 years, man.
Yeah, our age, man. Yeah.
50 years.
Why do you think it had such an impact so soon? It's only 50 years. Like, rock and roll been around way longer. Hip-hop is pretty young. Why do you think it had such an impact?
I mean, just from my experience being in hip-hop, a lot of what I learned, you know, growing up that they didn't teach in schools, I learned from the records, you
right.
know? It was like, so I feel, you know, I didn't know much about, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know much about black history until I started listening to Public Enemy and Chuck D. and KRS, you know,
right.
like, so I feel like hip hop was definitely like the CNN of like the inner city community, you know, and we kind of needed that. And I think it just resonated with all of these kids, you know, we started feeling rebellious back then. Like,
right.
that's right. You know what? I feel proud about myself.
Yeah, it made you feel positive.
Made you feel positive.
No matter how much negativity we were going through, it uplifted you.
Absolutely.
It was always aspirational. As are you, my brother. Thank you for coming out. I appreciate you. I love you.
Love you too, bro.
Let me ask one more question before you go. What do you think hip-hop's going to next?
Ah, man, I don't think that I can even answer that question.
In the next 50 years, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I just hope that it continues to grow. Hey, I got to be honest. I'm like,
you know, I don't know what these motherfuckers going to do.
Hey, I don't know what to
do. Be nice.
Yeah.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the internet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? But there's way more to this story than that. The dress went viral in early 2015, marking one of the last months that the internet could still be fun. It was just before Trump declared his candidacy for president and polarized an already polarized internet. It was just shy of people deciding what went viral instead of algorithms. And it was just shy of celebrities realizing that they should never, ever tweet. It's more than a character of the day. It's an entire moment in time bottled in a little, well, either blue and black or white and gold package. I'm not relitigating it again. You cannot make me. And that's just one story. We've got a million. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is a Grammy Award-winning rap legend. He's here to talk about his new album, King's Disease 3, which is out now. Please welcome the one and only Nas. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, man, welcome back. Congratulations on the new album. You know, I was thinking about this today when we were talking about you coming on. I was like, you are a living hip-hop legend. And I think the significance of that for me lies in the meaning both ways. One, you are still in the game, you're still doing it, you're still contributing, you're still making great music, but also you are a living hip-hop legend. We take for granted how many legends we've lost in hip-hop. We take for granted how many people aren't around who are part of that. Do you ever wake up in the morning and think to yourself, damn, so many of the people I started with in this game aren't here anymore, and I'm still here getting to be a part of it?
All the time, all the time. Somebody, a friend of mine today, called me and told me, he said, you realize how long and you've been around and how much you survived and things you've been through. You know, we just lost a hip-hop artist the other week, man.
Yeah.
Takeoff, and, you know, may he rest in peace. And, you know, I lost so many friends even before I got into music. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would get into music and then still see it going on, you know?
You've done that. You've done more than just survive it. You've succeeded in it. You've thrived in it. And
thanks.
I think what I love about this album is how it feels like you almost reminiscing whilst also writing a piece of the future.
Yeah.
You know, you've always been, till this day, everyone will say, one of the greatest lyricists that's ever lived.
Wow,
but the stories that you tell, you know, the way you weave. I mean, for instance, everyone who was in hip hop was familiar with like your beef with Jay-Z, right? Mm-hmm. What it was.
Yeah.
And then I loved how in here you talk about that beef, what it was, how it disappeared, but how you'll still text him saying, you know, this isn't over, right?
Well, when I released the track list for the album the other day, he released a picture with all his Grammys. Yeah, shout out to him. And a shout out to Hit-Boy, who produced this album, the entire album. He produced the other two albums and also the album Magic. We slipped in 4 albums in 2 years.
Yeah, you've been prolific.
And the reason, yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks. And the reason it happened is because we started the first one in 2020 when the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So at first I was scared to come outside, and then Hit-Boy was in the studio like, come on, man. It's like a month. You didn't leave your house. And he got me to come outside and had nothing else to do.
Right.
And we finished the first one really quick, and we said, you know, we should do this again. And here we are with the third one on my label, Massapill.
I'd love to know that. When you look at hip-hop as a whole, you know, you were there when it was only seen as gangster rap. You were there when it was completely ostracized from society. Now it's at the Super Bowl. Now it is, you know, at a hockey game. I remember that's when I was like, wow, okay, hip-hop has done it. You know? No, for real.
Right.
I'd love to know, you know, where you would like to see the game progressing to now that it's, you know, it's not in the exact same place it was before.
I think it evolved, and I think people can realize that you don't have to be scared of it. We learn from our mistakes, and then we can grow in it. We don't have to stay doing one thing.
Right.
The ones who stay doing one thing, unfortunately, they fall off. And we have to understand that, like, hip-hop is now, it's going on 50 years, and we've been behind this whole 50 years will be next year. Hip-hop's been alive. So we've been behind trying to curate this museum that's coming up in the Bronx right now.
That's amazing.
And the mayor has even gotten involved.
That's amazing.
Mayor Adams. And, you know, and I noticed one thing with the culture. It's like artists don't think they can go past one way, or we have to be all in one, like, area trying to fight for crumbs. And it's like hip-hop's a multi-sound genre. So it's like in rock, you don't have... You don't compare Kiss to the Rolling Stones, mm-hmm. you know, but in mm-hmm. hip-hop, for some reason, we're fighting it for the same thing, and, you know, you feel like you have to be the number one guy all the time. So hip-hop is a multi-sound genre. You can have multiple things going on at once. Doesn't matter how, if you're 20 years old or 40 years old or whatever, it's a beautiful culture, and I love all of it. So I think that we should all, as writers, get out of your comfort zone and spread your wings and expand really with like your sound.
That. Yeah, I really like that. Before I let you go, I wanna talk about that idea of being more. You know, we know you for the music. We know you for being in the restaurant business and doing extremely well, being successful with that. We also know you, you know, getting
somebody said it. Sweet Chick, yeah, you been there?
Yeah.
All right.
It's phenomenal. People love it. And you know, I remember eating and someone was like, you know, Nas owns this chicken. I was like, this chicken that I'm holding right now? It was a weird way that someone said it to me. But you're also getting involved in a different type of storytelling, which is in film. You know, I know that you directed a documentary.
Yeah.
You know, that talks about, you know, the supreme world of, like, it was this underworld in Queens. And I know you're also involved in a really fascinating story about the civil rights icons, everybody, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it about that world that entices you? Why are you stepping into documentaries, filmmaking, et cetera, and doing well at it?
I'm a movie buff. I love films.
For real?
And yeah, I love films. I love them, love them, love them. I was Halloween. I was going Friday the 13th crazy. I was going Halloween crazy. I went to see Halloween Ends and all of that. It was
thing. What's your favorite film? What is like the movie that you can never get enough of? You watch it over and over and over.
Beach Street, the old school hip hop film.
Okay.
That's my favorite. Then it comes to the Godfathers and all of that stuff.
Okay, okay.
You know, Godfather's a family movie, you know? It's a beautiful thing, you know? I love films. I love Steven Spielberg. I rapped about him on one of my first raps. And I always wanted to get into it. So the Supreme Team was one about an underworld organization in Queens long ago. We hear about the Gottis and all of those, John Gottis and stuff, but we never really hear about this. So I like to uncover things, the good, the bad, the ugly in America. And mm-hmm. his story was mm-hmm. some innocent people and some people are guilty. Some are innocent, probably. But the new one, The Invaders, that just came out, you can catch it on Apple, Amazon Prime, is about this organization of musicians, intellectuals, Vietnam vets who got together, who were trying to strike against a garbage truck company where someone was killed in this faulty truck, and then there was no pensions, the money was bad, and Martin Luther King came down there and he stood with the Memphis people, the people that were striking, mm-hmm. and he found out who the Invaders were, and they wanted to protect the march because the first march was bad. Of course we know the end, how Martin Luther King you know what happens, but there's another look into that story through the eyes of the Invaders.
Right.
And most of them are still alive, and it's a really good picture. And it's 1967, and it's amazing. So there's so many stories to uncover all over the world, and here's my world, and I want to talk about it. Another one besides Sweet Chick I got to tag is Coat, Michelin star restaurant, Coat. You gotta go. You gotta go.
That's you?
Yeah, I'm it's not me, but I'm a part of it.
Yeah, but still that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man of many talents.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss.
Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.